Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready radio network, which is the network of our sister, Jackie Elnor. And there's a different program every day over there, so if you need something good to listen to, head over there. Also, I want to give a big shout out to my listeners in Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, Australia, and many other places around the world. Thanks for tuning in, and tell your friends about the program, because we hope to get the good news out, amen, to as many people as we can. And I've noticed lately that our listenership is increasing, so we thank God for that. Going into, let's see, we started 2009, so going into 9 years here. Hard to believe, right? Hard to believe we've been doing this for 9 years. I can't believe it, but there's many hundreds of episodes in the archives for you to listen to over the years. And also, today we're going to talk about the Mormons, because they're trying to rebrand themselves and to make themselves look more mainstream. But anyway, it's something we need to be aware of, because it's a deception. And so I also have two programs. I think they were in 2012, or might have been in 2012. I think I had two programs where I had two former Mormons actually on the program giving their testimony. Also, you can go over to some of the video channels and you can see some of the hidden camera film or video of being inside the Mormon temple in Salt Lake. It's hard to get in there. It's not open to the public, and you just can't walk in. So anyway, some people went in and they did some undercover work, and so they show you what it is to be inside in some of these very strange ceremonies mixed with Freemasonry and the occult. Yeah, the occult. Slippery slope, but you'll sometimes hear Mormons say, oh yeah, we love Jesus. But what Jesus are they talking about? They're not talking about the Jesus that we know. But anyway, next week, I want to do a program about some of the censorship that's going on, which I find very alarming, because it's happening way too soon, a lot sooner than I thought it would happen, actually, because I thought someday maybe our channel would be censored and the other Christian channels out there that aren't really mainstream. Recently, now, I don't promote Alex Jones. I don't like some of the things that he has on his former channel. Of course, some of the things were newsworthy. The language and cursing God and things like that, I don't agree with that at all. But I think that the fact that he's been taken off of the internet and censored is very, very alarming, because you have people like, for instance, Louis Farrakhan, that says horrible things about Jewish people. And you've also had people make threats against the president of the United States, and yet they still have a voice. So it's all very curious as to why they picked on Alex Jones. to take him off and to try to shut him up when he has a right, like anybody else, to voice his opinion, whether you agree with it or not. It's part of free speech in America. And eventually, I've known this for a long time, but I didn't think it was going to happen so fast. Eventually, the kind of speech that we have and other Christians have when we speak out against homosexuality and we speak out against witchcraft in the church, or in the so-called church, really, the money-grubbing preachers, the extortioners, it's going to be viewed as hate speech, which it already is in countries like Great Britain and Canada and some of the other socialist countries. You can't voice your opinion. You can't quote Bible scriptures because they say it's hate speech. So eventually, and it may happen sooner than we think, really, that we'll be censored. Will they remove all of our programming from the internet? Maybe. Maybe they will. They've pretty much scrubbed Alex Jones, so it can be done. And anyway, when that happens, then we can always turn to our Bibles, because they're not going to take those away from us. So it's important for us to hide the word in our heart and make sure that we're ready for whatever we need to be ready for. I know myself, I need to devote more time to Bible study so that I have that word in my heart. We have to be ready for whatever comes. And we're living in the end times, obviously, when you can call good evil and evil good. And we see the increase in crime. I know in my area where I live, yesterday they found a baby. A 9-month-old baby was left in a car. And it's hot here in Florida. How do you forget? Like, the baby was in the car overnight. How do you forget that your baby's missing? I don't get it. You know, what kind of world is this? And this happens quite a bit, where you hear about people leaving their babies in hot cars. They forget that their baby's in the car. How does that happen? I don't forget about my animal. Never mind my child. So what are they drugged up on? What's going on? And we see the increase in drug use. Prescription, so-called prescription drug use, where they give people opioids, which is heroin, really Oxycontin and those, or heroin, it's heroin. We know many of us that grew up in the 60s, were teenagers in the 60s, we knew, no, you don't mess with heroin. You don't mess with heroin because it's addicting. Any of us that had friends that were used heroin or knew of people that used heroin, if they used it once, usually they were addicted. That was it. And then it was like a gutter drug. You wound up in the gutter. You wound up stealing your mother's checkbook and your auntie's checkbook and whoever, just to get your drugs. Now you can go to the doctor and they use it for painkiller. No, heroin, Oxycontin, oxycodone, whatever. It only should be used if you're dying. But it shouldn't be used as a painkiller, because you're going to get addicted and then you're going to have a whole host of problems that you didn't even, you thought you were, the pain was bad. Wait till you get addicted to heroin. So they say. So anyway, we know that the Bible calls the use of drugs sorcery, pharmakia. It's a form of sorcery. It's a form of witchcraft. So we need to be careful about what we take into our bodies. Now, I think if people are in pain, they should have some kind of a painkiller, of course, but not heroin. Not heroin. And they say, okay, we have a crisis. We have an opioid crisis, but the doctors are still prescribing, the drug companies are still selling it. So we're a long way away from solving a man-made crisis, you know, which it should be solved. It should be solved. But anyway, we're going to go into our topic about the Mormon rebranding. And they are trying to rebrand themselves to make themselves look more mainstream. But the Bible warns, 2 Corinthians 11:4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. But don't follow people that preach another Jesus. We're supposed to know Jesus. We're supposed to know who he is. And the way we find out who he is through his word. So whatever anybody else says, we can't believe it. Because if you listen to Mormon testimony, and I'm going to play some audio for you. Oh yeah, they talk about Jesus. But they're not talking about the Jesus we know, because then they say, oh yeah, we believe. We believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. Yeah, but the Jesus they talk about, he could have been married. He could have had children. God the Father could have had children with some mother God that they talk about on these planets. It's a way out thing. So if most people don't really know what a Mormon is or what Mormon doctrine is, when they hear them talking about, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, well, it's not the Jesus we're talking about. It's a whole different Jesus. 1 John 4:1-6 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And they talk about, of course, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, and then they have a head prophet now. And, oh, these are their prophets. But these prophets, like Joseph Smith, he gets information from an angel called Moroni, and then he's got a seer stone, and we know what a seer is. A seer usually is a psychic or somebody that practices witchcraft. They also do water divining and things like that, but you can't trust an angel called Moroni, which is kind of a form of the word moron, right? Yeah. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Yeah, so they can deceive the hearts of the simple, just like we see now with propaganda that we see so much on television, propaganda news, which can deceive the heart of the simple if you're not educated and if you don't go back and listen to what people have actually said out of their own mouth, not what somebody else is telling you that they said. We're in a dangerous time like that. Anyway, that's why we try to be careful when we do programs here, that we don't take things out of context, and we try to tell you what the person actually said by playing their own audio and not just taking something out of context and saying, well, this is what they said. And you have to be able to back it up. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. You notice there's a lot of people today that like to say, I'm an apostle, like, you know, Paula White, she calls herself an apostle. Oh, really? Of what? Apostle of what? False a false church, a Babylonian church. And then you have a lot of preachers, male preachers too, apostle this, apostle that. And but they're not apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, most of them. I'm not big on titles. I don't think it's important to have a title because it kind of puffs you up a little bit. Yeah, some people have earned titles. Yeah. But just to tack a title onto your name so that people will think you're something special, that's a little odd. 2 Corinthians 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Revelation 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now, the Mormon, and you'll hear these two young, very young Mormon elders, they were called, but they look like they're 20, maybe even less than 20. And they say, well, they don't believe in hell. No, they don't believe in hell. So their doctrine is all messed up. It's all messed up. And if you don't read your Bible, you're going to be messed up too, because anybody can tell you anything, and they do today. They do. They tell you just about anything, and people believe it. People believe it. And I'm going to do another show about this, but like people that tell you that there's lizard people out there. They're lizard people. They're half human and half lizard. I'm like, please stop. I mean, I know that they are experimenting with these kind of things where they're trying to clone people and they're trying to clone animals into people. And I know they're doing that, but I don't think they've perfected it yet. I don't think there's any lizard people out there yet, but there's people that believe it. You know, there's people that believe that angels come down from heaven and they father children. No, that doesn't happen because angels don't have blood, first of all. So they can't father children if you don't have blood. And they're not going to get any blood anywhere here when they come down, or these fallen angels that they talk about. So they're spirits. They don't have the things that humans have, or they don't have the things that human men have. It's ridiculous, but people want to believe, for some reason, they like to believe science fiction gospel, which I don't understand it totally. I don't know why people want to waste their time, because it has nothing to do with salvation, where people are going to spend their eternal life. So I know people like to argue about it, but it's not important even. It's not even worth discussing because, first of all, it's not true. And why argue about it? Because is anybody going to get born again really over Nephilim or lizard people? I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so, but anyway, here's a little bit about Joseph Smith, and this is from a Mormon website. Joseph Smith was the founder and first president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Now, that sounds normal, right? They want you to think it sounds normal. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He and five associates formally organized the church at Fayette, New York in 1830. He presided over the church until 1844 when he was martyred. He was murdered. So they say he was a martyr. Under his leadership, church membership grew from 6,000 to 26,000. And they have a portrait of him here. In the mid-1800s, Boston Mayor J. John Quincy wrote, at some future time, the question may be asked, what great American has done more to mold the minds and destiny of his countrymen than any other man upon this continent? Absurd as it may seem to some, it is not improbable that the answer to this question will be Joseph Smith, the Mormon prophet. Oh, wow. What? What great American has done more to mold the minds and destiny of his countrymen? Talk about being deceived. It says that Joseph Smith was born into a poor family. He was educated mainly at home from the family Bible. Talk about scripture twisting. He was educated from the family Bible. But somehow, somewhere, he got mixed up into the occult and Freemasonry. It says that he was married in 1827. During their 17-year marriage, they were parents to 11 children. Now, also, they practiced polygamy, where the men could take more than one wife, and they would have these children. You see these programs on television now with these Mormon families where they have like 27 children with four wives, five wives. It must be hard. I don't care what they say. It has to be hard to be one of those wives. Of course, this little history about Joseph Smith from the Mormon website is going to be slanted. It's not really going to say what somebody would say if they had... if it was coming from a Christian perspective, but it says now that they have about 14 million members. That's a lot. That's a lot. Well, then, you know, there's some famous people that are Mormons, like Marie Osmond and her family. And of course they talk, they seem to talk sensibly, right? But they don't really tell you what's going on behind the scenes in these Mormon temples and what the doctrine really is. Anyway, then there was Brigham Young, and he took over after the assassination of Joseph Smith in 1844. He continued to be president until his death. And remember, the Mormons migrated from Illinois to Utah, and of course Utah even today is a stronghold for the Mormon so-called church, where there's the Mormon temple there and most of the Mormons live there. But it's a big organization. Let's see, Brigham Young. And also, if you wanted to do the research, there is even a picture of Brigham Young, and he has a shirt on, a white shirt, and there's a Masonic symbol on the shirt. And they also, when they do their temple ceremonies, they have these Masonic handshakes and things like that. So there's a lot of Masonry that has been intertwined with Mormonism, but there was a lot of violence associated with them too. Because of their practices, and especially the polygamy, which is kind of odd because here we have polygamy is outlawed, but yet these people are allowed to practice polygamy. How do they get away with it? Because It depends on who wants to enforce what law. I don't know why they have these laws and then nobody enforces it, because there's so many polygamous cults in Utah and the surrounding areas there. Even they go on television and say they're practicing polygamy. I don't know how they do that and get away with it. But anyway, there was an article that came out last week, and the Mormons are trying to rebrand themselves. So they're saying, do not call us Mormons or LDS Church anymore. They don't want to be referred as such. It says, leaders of the Utah-based Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on Thursday called on people to stop referring to the faith as Mormonism. Although the church acknowledged one of its central texts would still be called the Book of Mormon. But don't call us Mormons. An online guide accompanying a pronouncement from the church president also asked people to stop referring to followers of the religion as Mormons and not to use the name LDS as a shorthand way of describing the faith. The prophet says, the Lord has impressed upon my mind the importance of the name he has revealed for his church, even the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Church President Russell Nelson said in a statement. We have work before us to bring ourselves in harmony with his will. Leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have long proclaimed their faith as Christian and fought any association with polygamy, which was practiced by early members of the church before they abandoned it more than 100 years ago. Their latest campaign is related to these twin goals, said Professor Patrick Mason, the chair of Mormon studies at Claremont University. For many years, the church has wanted to insist that it is a Christian church, and a common formulation, especially among evangelical Christians, is that Mormons are not Christians. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has about 16 million followers. The emphasis on the full name of the church is one way for its leaders to distance themselves from breakaway groups. Yeah, well, they want to appear more mainstream, so not. Don't refer to them as Mormons. Which I find very interesting, because a few years back there was I can't remember the exact name of that website, but I think it was the Cult Awareness Network, something like that, maybe. But I don't have it in front of me, and I don't really remember exactly the name, but it was a Christian website. And they expose cults. And I think Scientology bought them out. I think it was Scientology. But anyway, a cult bought them out and then made it appear that they were basically the same website. And so just to deceive people, I think they were being sued. Anyway, I can get that information for a future program. But they were being sued, and then this cult brought them out, which I think was Scientology, and they tried to make it look like Scientology doesn't like for people to talk about them being a cult and being as weird, too. They have all these weird doctrines, as they do. And so, anyway, they tried to take this Christian website and to stop them from proclaiming the truth. And then somehow, some way, they were able to get control of it and use it as a deception. So that's why sometimes you have to be careful too what you see on websites, because it might appear to be a Christian website, but it's not. Anyway, I'm going to play some audio here so you can hear for yourself, because you'll hear the actual testimony of these young men who, like I said, they look to be about 20 years old, and or maybe even less than that. And they were called elders, and they were going over their beliefs. And it comes from a Baptist pastor who was questioning them on their beliefs. And they seem to be very honest and forthright with explaining their Mormon doctrines. But anyway, let's listen to part one here.
Okay, how long have you been a Mormon?
My whole life.
Okay, my name is Elder Adams. I'm also from Southern California, a town called Temecula. I'm 19 years old, and I've been a member. I was baptized at 8 years old, so I guess I've been a member since I was 8.
How many times have you read the Book of Mormon through?
Probably a good 5 or 6 times.
5 or 6 times? How about the Doctrines and Covenants?
About the same.
Okay, and then the Pearl of Great Price?
Probably about 3, not as much.
3 times, not as much?
Yeah.
And then how about you? How many times have you read through the Book of Mormon?
Too many times to count.
Okay.
Every day, every night with my family throughout the time I was growing up, so I don't really know what number, but quite a few times.
How about the Doctrines and Covenants?
Not as many, but quite a few.
And then how about the Pearl of Great Price?
Just a few times.
Just a few times?
Yeah.
Okay, Elder Johnson, how many times have you read through the Bible?
I've read through it a lot. I love the Bible. Probably 6 or 7 times.
Read through the Bible 6 or 7 times?
And that's both the New and the Old Testament script.
Yes, both the Old and New. Okay. Elder Adams?
I've read the Old Testament and the New Testament. I've read the Old Testament all the way through once, and I've read through the New Testament numerous times.
Obviously, LDS doctrine is different than maybe Baptist doctrine. So as far as salvation, how does one get to heaven? And I know you guys believe in multiple heavens or multiple kingdoms. Why don't you go into a little bit of detail about that, about the different levels of glory and how one gets there?
Yeah, definitely. So I brought with me this pamphlet explaining a little bit about the degrees of glory. So there's 3 different kingdoms, the celestial, terrestrial, and the celestial kingdom. The celestial kingdom is where Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ reside. And we believe if you live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ and are cleansed from sin by the atonement, you will receive a place in this, the highest kingdom. And that's what makes the plan of salvation possible, is only through the atonement of Jesus Christ. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can go to heaven. And you'll live in God's presence and know complete joy in that kingdom. Now, as far as the middle kingdom, the terrestrial kingdom, would you like to read that, Elder Johnson?
Yeah. All right. So the terrestrial kingdom is people who refuse to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, but who live honorable lives will receive a place in the terrestrial kingdom.
Yeah. And the lowest kingdom is the celestial kingdom. Would you read a little bit more about that?
Yeah, that's those who continue in their sins and do not repent will receive a place in the celestial kingdom.
So if somebody wanted to go to the celestial kingdom, what do they have to do?
They have to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have to repent and be baptized by somebody holding the authority, the priesthood authority that God gave his apostles. And, we know, now there's different things, obviously, like we believe that you also need to be married in the temple to go to that kingdom, but we also believe that infants, people who didn't get to come of age, weren't able to be baptized, those people were innocent, and that they get to go to the celestial kingdom as well, people who are innocent. There are people who are mentally handicapped, who won't be able to be baptized or go to the temple, those people also receive a place in the celestial kingdom. So God is very understanding. He's very knowing. You know, he understands what your circumstances.
Do you guys believe in hell?
You know, it's kind of, with those 3 degrees of glory, it can be a little complex. Some people might describe the celestial kingdom as kind of like a hell, because you would kind of think to yourself, man, I could have done so much better. You know, so in that sense, it's kind of like hell, you know.
Do you believe in a place of literal fire where souls are tormented for eternity?
No.
Do you believe in a place called outer darkness?
Yes.
Describe outer darkness.
So outer darkness is those, because we believe in the plan of salvation before we came to this earth, there's a great war in heaven. And that there are 2 plans presented. Satan had his plan that everyone go to this earth, nobody making any bad decisions, that all would return to Heavenly Father, and the glory would be given to him, Lucifer. Whereas Jesus Christ, he gave the glory to God and said, everyone gets to go to church, go to the earth, sorry, and make their own choices. And that way, it'll be more fair, and everyone will have their agency to be able to choose from right or wrong. And whoever does choose to do good will be able to return to God's presence. Now, there were people who thought that Satan's plan was good because, you know, everybody would be able to come back to God. Everybody. But he would, of course, Satan was selfish. That was the path away of selfishness. But those who chose his plan were those who went to outer darkness.
Okay.
Anything else you want to add to that, Johnson?
I mean...
Yeah, notice that, of course, they don't believe they don't believe in a literal hell. And very strange. But if you wanted to actually see this video, it's on YouTube under Andrew Slutter. So you can see it's called Mormon Missionaries Shockingly Expose Their Own Doctrine. So yeah, they really do. But in some of the clips too, it says that from the Mormon website, and they talk about a Heavenly Mother, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches that all human beings, male and female, are beloved spirit children of heavenly parents, a Heavenly Father, and a Heavenly Mother. This understanding is rooted in scriptural and prophetic teachings about the nature of God, our relationship to deity, and the godly potential of men and women. The doctrine of a Heavenly Mother is a cherished and distinctive belief among Latter-day Saints. While there is no record of a formal revelation to Joseph Smith on this doctrine, some early Latter-day Saint women recalled that he personally taught them about a mother in heaven. The earliest published references to the doctrine appeared shortly after Joseph Smith's death in documents written by close associates. The most notable expression of the idea is found in a poem called My Father in Heaven, and now known as the hymn, Oh My Father. Well, I've heard it said that they believe that God had a wife and he made these children. Anyway, they're affirming the fact that they believe in the existence of a mother in heaven. And it says that in 1909, all men and women are in the similitude of the universal father and mother, and are literally the sons and daughters of deity. So they believe that, basically it sounds like the little gods theory, doesn't it? Joseph Smith's visions and teachings revealed the truth that the divine mother is side by side with the divine father. Almost like Mary in the Catholic Church. Similar. Each person is a beloved spirit son or daughter of heavenly parents, and as such, each has a divine nature and destiny. Brother. It's something, isn't it, how all these false teachings kind of fit together with trying to make people into gods or little gods. We are part of a divine plan designed by heavenly parents who love us, taught one of the elders. We forget that we have a heavenly father and a heavenly mother who are even more concerned than our earthly father and mother, and that influences from beyond are constantly working to try to help us do all we can. Latter-day Saints direct their worship to Heavenly Father in the name of Christ and do not pray to Heavenly Mother in this. They follow the pattern set by Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to always pray unto the Father in my name. they can even quote scripture, right? They can even quote scripture. Well, you heard those two young men say, yeah, they read the Bible. They read the Bible, but they read it but they read it through the eyes of the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price and the different books that the Mormons use to propagate their gospel. Their gospel. So it's just like the Catholic Church uses a catechism to propagate what they believe. So they might say, oh yeah, the Bible says this, but we say this. And so it's the same thing in the Mormon church. Same thing. Anyway, let's listen to the second part of this interview with these two young men who explain what Mormons believe.
Now, we aren't the ones who judges who goes into which kingdom or into outer darkness. That is up to God himself.
Sure. Are there any people alive, are there any people who would have lived on the earth who would also go to outer darkness?
That's a question I don't completely understand. I wasn't taught fully, but maybe perhaps those people who, commit unpardonable sins, like denying the Holy Ghost, those people who continue in their sins after they have a perfect knowledge, because that, is a very unforgivable sin, denying the Holy Ghost. So maybe perhaps in the future those people could go to outer darkness as well.
Describe what baptism for the dead is.
So what baptism for the dead really is you get somebody who, after the person is dead, we like to wait about, in our church, we wait until a year after they have been dead, and then we do the baptism for the dead. And how it works is, basically, in our temples, we have a baptismal font, just like a lot of churches have, and somebody has to baptize another person in place of that person who is dead. We don't dig up the person, and throw them into a baptismal font and baptize the skeleton or whatnot. That'd be silly. But we do it in place of the person, and that's all there is to it, really.
And so why don't you guys just kind of talk about eternal progression and what that exactly means to a Mormon?
So a lot of Christians look at being a child of God as for those who have accepted Christ into their life. We accept that too, but we also take it very seriously. We all of us are children of God, and God created us in His image. And if we choose to live in harmony with God's teachings and commandments, we can become like God. It's not to be confused with polytheism, though. We're not saying that, oh, it's all just multiple gods from here on out. We're all our own Heavenly Father here, But that's just my take on it.
So, talk about Jesus's progression. So kind of take us through, because Jesus is our example of what can happen to a man through eternal progression. So maybe talk about Jesus a little bit, how his progression started, kind of where Jesus got his beginning, what he did on the earth to gain eternal progression, and where he is now.
So Jesus is equal with God. He was. Since he came to the earth, he is God, and we just believe that we believe in God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ, and that all three of those are God. We believe basically what every other Christian faith believes, that they are all God, but except with one thing, we believe that they are three separate beings, and that's really the only separation of belief with our church, other than other churches, on that belief.
So you're not Trinitarian?
No. But it's not to be confused with polytheism, because we believe they're one God with one purpose. Mm-hmm.
They're just one in purpose.
One in purpose.
One in being.
Yes.
Okay. As far as Jesus Christ gaining eternal progression, what would he have had to do on the earth that we would need to emulate for him to gain eternal progression?
Well, Christ was baptized. It was commanded of him. He was perfect. He didn't need to be baptized, but he still got baptized anyway. So we got to all do that. And he's also resurrected. And we're all going to be resurrected too, whether it's our choice or not. We believe that all of us can be resurrected. Now, it's not, resurrection isn't exaltation, but we believe that everyone will have, even people who might have led less honorable lives will be able to be resurrected. But that doesn't guarantee exaltation. So we believe that Because Christ was resurrected, and if we emulate that attribute, if we do that, which we will, and we also need to be baptized, that's our steps towards, we have to follow that example. I don't know. I hope that isn't like skirting around your question or nothing.
So let me ask you this. If Jesus gained eternal progression and got Godhood status, he would, if we're to gain that same status, we have to be married. So do you believe that Jesus Christ was married in order to gain eternal progression?
I don't know if Jesus Christ was married. I wasn't actually thought about that. And there will be people who, you know, haven't been able to be married in this life. I don't know if Christ was married. I can't really answer that.
Do you have anything on that as far as was Jesus Christ married in order to gain eternal progression?
You know, I don't know. And there's no really scripture in the Bible that says he was, but that doesn't mean he wasn't. So he could have, and he could not have.
Yes, he could have.
So would it be okay with you guys if he was married?
That would be okay with me. Christ was a perfect example.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if he was married, was there the potential of having children?
I think he could have, yeah.
Yeah.
Does Jesus Christ have a wife now?
If he got married, then yeah.
If he didn't, then he doesn't have a wife?
I guess not. We believe that you also need to be married in the temple to go to that kingdom.
God, the Heavenly Father would have had to come through eternal progression as well, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. So that means he would have at one time been a man, correct?
It's not too far-fetched in my opinion.
And Heavenly Father created us, correct?
Yeah, he gave us bodies, yeah. As far as, like, giving us spirits, I don't know if he necessarily created our spirits, but I know that we live the spirits. I can't really go further back than that because I can't remember it. Cause, you know, we believe.
Quite odd, isn't it? So essentially what they're saying is that they believe that there was a Heavenly Father and there was a Heavenly Mother that created all of us and sent us here into the earth. And it's possible, they say, that Jesus was married and they could have had children. Oh, honest. It is a very, very strange cult. Very, very strange. And so don't fall for the rebranding that they're trying to make themselves look like they're Christians. And they're trying to shy away from the word Mormon. And they want to be referred to as the Church of Jesus Christ. So if people don't know, and they're trying to do away with the word Mormon, and they say, we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ, some people are going to believe it. They're going to believe it. And they won't know. For instance, if they step into one of these churches, they won't even know possibly if it is Mormon. And until maybe they're there a little while and then they find out some of the strange teachings. If they're not schooled in the Bible themselves, then they'll be deceived. But Mormonism also has a strong link to the occult. Joseph Smith and his father were both involved in the occult practice known as money digging. This involves special rituals and ceremonies which were performed for the purpose of obtaining buried treasure thought to be guarded by evil spirits. Accounts of money digging during the late 1700s and early 1800s are documented in Treasure Seeking in the American Northeast, published in 1986. This article mentions Joseph Smith Sr. and Jr. on pages 10 to 12, giving examples of their money digging activities. LDS seminary teacher Grant Palmer also documents the Smith family's occult beliefs and practices as well as those of their close associates in the book an insider's view of Mormon origins. Yeah, he was looking for buried treasure, but he also talks about being a seer and then getting his information from an angel. And it went beyond what the Bible says, which a lot of cults do. They go beyond what the Bible says. But also it says occult parallels in the LDS temple ceremony. And you can actually see, like I said before, you can actually see some of these temple rituals. The videos are available. Somebody went in there, I guess, with a hidden camera and was able to document it. But they also practice, when they do these ceremonies, they do washings and anointings, and then they wear these white outfits, and the women wear veils. And one ex-Mormon temple worker was saying, which was an odd thing that they don't do anymore, but which I found very disturbing, is that they would make the women go chest to chest with this temple worker. And so he was suggesting that it was a form of the women being molested. Which, who would want to do that anyway? Because these are married women that are there with their husbands, and yet they have to go chest to chest with some man, some temple worker, through these rituals. That must have been awful for them. But now they're saying that they don't do that anymore. But that's a strange thing too. But also, you can do a lot of the research on the parallels between Mormonism and Freemasonry, which there are many. Anyway, let's listen to part three of this interview.
Verse or anything, but that Heavenly Father has a wife, and that we came about, we're spirit children of Heavenly Father through him and this woman, his wife. So have you guys ever heard that?
I've heard it before.
Do you believe that?
I think we can have a Heavenly Mother.
Yeah. Heavenly Mother.
But I believe that we treat her with a lot more respect. Not a lot more respect, but we treat her with a big sense of reverence. You know, we don't really preach about her or talk about her because I think Heavenly Father, he didn't really like publicize that he had a wife or that we have a Heavenly Mother because God, a very omniscient man, you know, God is God, he knows everything, and he knew that, men pervert things, and so he would want his wife, the Heavenly Mother, to be spoken of in an irreverent kind of way, so that's why we don't really preach about Heavenly Mother. There's a hymn in our church, I really like it, it's in the song called Oh My Father, it's hymn number 292, it says, in the heavens, are parents single? No, the thought makes reason stare. Truth is reason, truth eternal, tells me I have a mother there. That kind of hints out there could be a Heavenly Mother, you know.
Now, as far as eternal progression, let's talk about ours, because we talked about Heavenly Fathers, we talked about Jesus Christ, now let's kind of talk about ours. When it comes down to our progression, we become like God. We will also have our spouse for time and eternity, correct?
Yes.
Will we also have spirit children in eternity?
I think so, yeah.
You believe that as well?
Yes.
Okay. So to talk about that, is there like, because there's a lot of speculation, you know, things get, you know, people say something about me all the time, you know, will you Baptist believe it? We don't believe that, you know.
Yeah.
So you guys do believe that there is a progression to where you guys have a spouse to eternity, one spouse or multiple spouses?
As far as I know, we're only going to have one spouse.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as children, you know, we believe that, that once you're happy, and I believe that true happiness will come from your family, so you
you should be able to have children in the afterlife as well. Okay? And as far as them being spirit children, is there like another thing that happened with this earth where they go and receive bodies so they can become like gods as well? Do they get to eternally progress?
Yeah, I believe so. If they choose, I mean, like, you know, it's up to you if you want to choose to be righteous and eternally progress.
So they get sent to a place that they can also have human bodies to where they can also... Do they come to this earth?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, that's way far ahead in the future, but...
Right.
It makes sense that, you know, you'd be able to have children, you'd be able to live on earth.
Okay. All right. And so as far as... I honestly don't know the answer to this question. As far as the whole Jesus Christ coming down and paying for our sins, will that have to happen, for example, if I, you know, convert to the Latter-day Saint Church and I, you know, I start becoming a good Mormon, I can still be in my life, I can still be in the temple, so forth and so on. I get, you know, godhood status and I have my own spirit children, they go to receive their bodies on an earth. Will there also have to be a Jesus Christ, you know, quote unquote, that'll have to go and die for their sins?
That also makes sense too, in my opinion. My personal belief, that makes sense. If that was God's plan here, who's to say that that could be, if there was another earth, how that could happen as well, or that could have happened on other planet, other earths before us.
Right. This is it. What do you think maybe some of the differences are between LDS and Baptist doctrine?
One of the big differences I can think of, and it's been brought up to me a few times, is is being saved by grace. You know, we all believe that we can be saved by grace, but one of the things we believe in is we also have to do our parts. You know, yes, we are saved by grace, but you have to endure to the end or be like Jesus, Just try to be good people. We don't believe that you can earn your way into heaven, kind of like we talked about earlier. But, it was right. Be a good person. Read your scriptures, live in church. Pray.
They don't believe in... They say they believe in salvation by grace, but yet they tell you that you have to really earn your way to heaven. It's all confusing because they say in one place they say, yes, we believe in salvation by grace through Jesus Christ, but yet who is their Jesus? Their Jesus is a strange Jesus that comes from a heavenly mother and a heavenly father, and he can be married, he can have children. That's a strange Jesus. They're so mixed up, but so many of the cults are like that, where they talk Christianese. They have some of the Christian phrases. And so people can hear those Christian phrases and then they think, well, yeah, that must be Christian. But especially in the days we're living in, so many people say, I'm a Christian, and yet they don't mind extorting money from you on the so-called Christian television networks. Well, that's not Christian, so they're not really Christian. What kind of Christian television is that? And then you have these cult groups. And they say, yeah, we're Christians, and we have the Bible, we read the Bible. But yet, here, in one of the ways that you can recognize some of the error in this organization or this cult, really, is they say that the Bible has been transmitted over the centuries. It has suffered the loss of many plain and precious parts. They believe the Bible to be the Word of God as far as it is translated correctly, and that the most reliable way to measure the accuracy of any biblical passage is not by comparing different texts, but by comparison with the Book of Mormon and modern-day revelations. And you have people even now that call themselves apostles and prophets, and they have a revelation. They can tell you, you know, God told me something else. And maybe it doesn't agree 100% with scripture, but God told me something else. And so they do it too. It's not only the Mormons that are doing it. It says the King James Bible is the LDS Church's official English Bible, although it has been footnoted in a way that it interprets the meaning to complement LDS doctrines, which also another cult group like the Catholic Church does. They have their own Bible and they have footnotes that you can read a scripture and then you'll go to the footnote, and the footnote might totally contradict what they just read, but yet they'll believe the footnote before they'll believe what was actually in the scripture. The Book of Mormon teaches that only fools say the Bible is sufficient and that other scripture is not needed. Thou fool that shall say a Bible, we have got a Bible and we need no more Bible. And it's in their book, 2 Nephi 29:6. The Book of Mormon contains many linguistic similarities to the King James Bible, including entire passages duplicated word for word. But, for example, the Book of Mormon contains 19 chapters of the King James translation of Isaiah. The LDS Church subscribes to the doctrine of continual revelation, which we believe all that God has revealed and all that he does now reveal. And they believe, of course, that he reveals things through their prophet. And we have many so-called churches today that appear to be Christian churches, and they hang on every word from prophet so-and-so instead of hanging on the word of prophet Jesus and the word of God. It says the only one authorized to bring forth new doctrine is the president of the church or the prophet, who, when he does, will declare it as a revelation from God, and it will be accepted by the church and the 12 apostles. But that's kind of the same way the Catholic Church operates, is they have scripture, but then they have what the Pope says. And so the popes have in times past said that Mary was born a perpetual virgin, and she was born without sin, and she ascended into heaven in a body, and all these things. Of course, they don't come from the Bible, but they come from the catechism and what's been handed down through the popes, which is basically the same thing that happens in the Mormon church, is that the prophet then can interpret scripture and put make it align to Mormon doctrine. According to Mormonism, everything in the universe, including God, is ultimately governed by eternal transcendent laws and principles. In LDS teaching, all the Father's children, including humans, possess the same potential to become gods, like the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, since they are of the same species. Every human spirit once existed as a divine intelligence before becoming the spirit children of the Father. Prior to creation, human spirits were literal children of heavenly parents. Although their spirits were created, the essential intelligence of these spirits is considered eternal and without beginning. Now, of course, we know we're taught God doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. Now they're telling you that human beings have the same thing. They don't have a beginning. It says Satan rejected this plan and wanted to implement one that would have involved loss of moral agency. Jesus opposed Satan and offered an alternative plan in which he would take on human form and live a sinless life so that his spirit brothers and sisters could become gods. When his plan was not accepted, Lucifer is said to have rebelled and taken the third part of the host of heaven with him to the earth to serve as tempter. Yeah, we know that. We know that the fallen angels serve as tempters. Mormons believe in a universal salvation. So this also points back to universalism, where people teach today that there is no hell. for everyone from death, that is what they refer to when they speak of salvation by grace alone. But after the body is reunited with the spirit, humans go to different places. And they do. They have terrestrial kingdoms. They have. They talk about different planets, where they go after they die. It says that eternal hell is for Satan, demons, and sons of perdition, those who deny the Holy Spirit after receiving it. But what, again, what Holy Spirit are they talking about? They're not talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we believe in. But they talk about another Jesus. They talk about another Father. And they talk about another Holy Spirit. And it's all very, very deceptive. And I wasn't surprised, really, when I saw the article about the rebranding. Deception increases in the day that we're living in. And then, of course, censorship will be increasing in the days ahead. And down the road, it'll be harder and harder for people to recognize what is a true church and what isn't a true church, unless, of course, they've educated themselves and read the Bible themselves and know the Word of God. Just like the Bible says to be a good Berean and to study the Scriptures to see if what people are telling you are so. I think in the day that we're living in, more and more, we better know what the Bible says, because we're going to be deceived if we don't. And you see younger people coming up now, and they're training these people. The way they're being trained is they can't use pronouns. They can't use him and her or he and she. They're being taught to use a different language. They're being taught about sex, like when they're in kindergarten or whatever. They're being censored. They can't wear this shirt and they can't say this word. And also, they're being, so many young people, especially in the colleges, are being taught socialism, which, who wants socialism? I don't want socialism. I don't want to be paying for somebody else, especially if they didn't work. I don't want to be paying somebody else's bills. We have enough of our own bills to pay besides paying some strangers' bills. But yet they're trying to push this whole thing. And it's so important, I think, now for Christians like never before to take a stand for the truth and not to compromise in any way, because this younger generation, really, you can really, in a way, fear for them because of the way they're being taught. And even some of the churches that their parents are attending, the way they're being taught in these churches as to who Jesus is and to what's in the Bible. So it's very, very important for us to not compromise in what we believe and to stand strong in the days that are ahead, no matter what comes our way. We have to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and to fellowship as much as we can, whether we fellowship on the internet or over the phone, or how we choose to fellowship with people that are like-minded, and also to be there for people that have questions and to help them along, to help prevent them from being deceived and from them losing their faith, because sometimes people can become so deceived and so disillusioned that they can lose sight of what's true. And sometimes they get angry at God and they stay angry at God for something that's happened in their life, and they don't have anybody to help to lift them up and to be there for them, to pray for them, and to be there as a brother and a sister in Christ. So there's some people that we're not going to reach, which is sad to say. There's already some people that they are of a reprobate mind, and it doesn't matter what you say, you're casting your pearls before a swine, because they won't listen to you anyway. And they don't have any interest in God. They have no interest in Jesus Christ, and they have no interest in repenting of their sins and making Jesus their Savior. So, but we have to try to do what we can do in the days ahead, because who knows how long we're going to be able to do it. At any time, you can be removed from the internet. You can be removed from the social media programs that are out there. All right, so even if we get our own social media programs, our own kind of YouTube channel or our own Facebook or Twitter or whatever platform you use, they could take you off the internet. There's countries now where they censor the internet and they only allow certain things to go out over the internet. So that could happen. That could happen. And then say all the 9 years that we've been on the air, possibly all those programs could be wiped out and they won't even be there. And they can wipe every trace of you off if they so choose. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing that happen with people like Alex Jones. And then who's next? You know, who's next? Anyway, let's try to stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and to stay connected as best as we can with our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we get strength from each other. When somebody tells me, "I'm praying for you," oh, that makes me feel stronger to know that somebody cares enough to pray and to lift me up and to have a word of encouragement when we need it, because we're all going through things. We're all going through things. And you say, "This is a strange trial that I'm going through. I don't understand it. Only God knows." Some people go through serious illnesses. They go through terrible financial trials. They go through terrible trials with their families. And sometimes we can't figure it out. We can't, for the life of us, figure it out why these things happen to us, but they do. They do. Yet we're reminded that Jesus said, "In this world, you will have tribulation." And we do have tribulation. We do have tribulation in this world, because this world is not our home, and we're still dealing with fallen man. Well, you know, not everybody's going to like you. Not everybody's going to be kind to you. But the Bible says that there is one person that loves us, who laid down his life for us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be there. He sticks closer than a brother. Who lays down their life for you? Well, sometimes your parents do, definitely. They lay down their lives for us. But who did it for us more so than anybody else was the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven to come down to earth to die on a cross for us, for our sins, for our salvation, for us to have peace and joy when there is no peace and joy in fame and money and sex and drugs. And no, there's only peace and joy that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can spend your whole life looking for love and you're not going to find it in a human being. You might find some love. You only find real love from God. Total unconditional love only comes from God, only comes from the Lord. We're going to be disappointed, like the Bible says that cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. So if you're looking for a human being to meet all your needs, they can't do it. They can't do it. There's only one person that said he would meet all our needs according to his riches and glory, and that's Jesus. So give your life to Jesus Christ today. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Romans 10:10 says, "Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation." And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have. But God made a way of escape by sending us a Savior. Jesus said in the third chapter of John, you must be born again. So you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. It's something that you'll never regret if you turn your life over to the Lord. You'll never regret it. Only he can save you and change your life. And he can do it. God bless you today. Here we go.
tomorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.